The regular session of the California legislature closed on time a couple of weeks ago. With the ending of the session came the beginning of a new set of tasks for the person who represents the far northeastern corner of California in the Assembly, the lower house. Brian Daly of Assembly District 1 is now the minority leader in the Assembly. He's the number one Republican in that House, replacing Chad Mays from Southern California. Brian Daly's district stretches from Lake Tahoe on the south to the Oregon and Nevada state lines and includes Shasta and Siskiyou counties. He's from Bieber in Lassen County and joins us now to talk about his new job. Brian Daly, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
I'm great. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Northern California, a crisp morning. It's beautiful.
It's the kind of thing that makes you glad you live in the region, right?
It does. It's got some of the best air to breathe in California right here.
At last. I noticed there certainly hasn't been a speaker from outside Southern California in 20 years. How rare is it for someone from far Northern California to get a key post in either party?
Well, you know, I've been elected by my peers, and so I've been there 5 years, and just continuing to do what I've been doing for the last 20 years is representing my district and California the best I can. And so the change came, you know, earlier in the month, and so I'm very excited and humbled to be able to lead the Republicans in the Assembly.
Chad Mays is not the first member of the legislature to pay a price for a position he took. What led to his removal as minority leader?
Well, there was a bill that came up. It was the cap and trade bill. It was actually, we had a bill the year before, which was SB 32, which put cap but no trade on emissions. And so the bill that came this year was a bill that allowed trade. And so there was seven Republicans that voted for that that bill, and that caused an uproar in the party. And so there was a change in leadership, and I was chosen to lead.
What role did you play? Did you? I mean, yeah, it looks like you advocated Chad Mays' removal.
No, I was actually, you know, look, there's 25 districts and Republicans in the state assembly, and everyone has to represent their district. And those who represented their districts, you know, there was a lot of business community that wanted that them to negotiate so that they could actually pay for a carbon tax and be able to sell their products. So the bill the year before, as I mentioned, was a cap. So that basically said you had to reduce your emissions without being able to buy offsets. And the bill that came behind that was a bill that allowed them to purchase offsets. So those members who voted for that were negotiating for the businesses in their communities that that wanted that. So, you know, but I knew that Chad was wounded and that he was eventually going to be have to go. And so there was four other people in the race before I decided to get in. And then when I decided to do it, within, you know, 25 hours, I was elected unanimously by our caucus to represent them.
Was there nothing in the bill or nothing that could have been negotiated in a slightly different bill that, that would have won your support for cap and trade?
Well, for me, you know, I think that over the problem is that we need to have a whole different discussion about cap and trade and emissions, quite frankly, is for me, is that, look, the cost of electricity and the cost of fuel is going to go up no matter what. It was going to go up even probably more under the old system. But at the end of the day, the ratepayers and the taxpayers and the people in business are getting, you know, the cost is passed on to them, and it's hard to do business in California. I'm in business. And so, yes, I would have liked to have seen something different, but, you know, we don't always get the option to change a piece of legislation. You have to play the hand you're dealt. Unfortunately, we need more Republicans in Sacramento so we have more of a balance, and that's what my goal is going to be as the new Republican minority leader.
Well, that really gets to the heart of what the issue is here. When you have 54 Democrats, 25 Republicans, and one vacancy, the Democrats outnumber you 2-1 in the Assembly, can pretty much do anything they want, which would, you know, so I mean, what kind of input can you have? I mean, they could pretty much just roll right past you.
That's exactly right, and so that's why I say, sometimes you're dealt a hand, and you can't fold it. You can't start over. You have to play that hand. And so we do that every day. And, you know, I say this a lot, that I negotiate the death of my business every day. And unfortunately, you know, I'm one of the few people who actually run a business in California that is in the legislature. And so it makes it very difficult for me to swallow some of those bills. But I'm doing, and most Republicans, I mean, all of them are trying to do the best they can with what they have available to them. And it's not going to change until, you know, the people of California get tired of, you know, the Democrats taxing us and regulating us to death until they stand up. I mean, I heard your the talk about teens homelessness, it's because they need a job, and it's hard to create jobs in California. That's part of the problem for that, too.
Brian Daly is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the First District Assembly member in California's lower house and is also now the Republican leader in that house as of September 16th. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about legislating generally and his role in it specifically. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. That's an interesting line you gave a moment ago. I negotiate the death of my business every day. What is your business and what do you mean?
So I'm a seed farmer. My grandfather actually homesteaded in Siskiyou County up in Tule Lake in the 30s, and so we've been farming in California for a long time. And so I raise cereal grains for seed. We're planting today, and we just finished our harvest up, and we're milling our seed, and we sell seed to other farmers. So what I say, because I'm competing against guys from Oregon and Nevada, and, you know, they don't have the same regulatory environment that I have. They don't have the same employment laws I have. And so I'm competing against them. So the higher my price goes to meet all these demands, as far as the states put on my business, my competition can sell that seed into California cheaper than I can. And it drives me out of business. That's as simple as that.
So you mentioned wanting to get more Republicans elected to the legislature in California. Will that be the largest part of what you do, you think? I mean, I'm just wondering how much your job will be involved in things that actually go on under the Capitol Dome versus what you're trying to do out in the field.
So my job as the Assemblyman Minority Leader is to – I manage our caucus staff, which is our 20 – it's everybody's staff I get to manage. I get to choose the committees that the members will sit on. And then I also, my number one job, though, is to go out and raise the resources I need to go tell the story about Republicans and pick up Republican seats so that we can have, our numbers can go in the direction where we get closer to 41, where we can then have a speaker being a Republican, and we can move Republican ideas and conservative ideas, quite frankly, and pro-business ideas.
How difficult is it to build up some kind of momentum, though, in getting people elected to office? I mean, granted, both parties are under the same set of circumstances with term limits, and it certainly keeps anybody in a leadership position from staying too long. I mean, do you feel like party leaders have enough time to, A, learn the job of legislating, and, B, the additional tasks of party leaders?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Absolutely. I think there's now with the 12-year terms, there's time to understand the job. I think that was a great move that we can stay in one house for 12 years. I also think that a really great opportunity for Californians is the open primary. Now, some would argue that they don't like that, but at the end of the day, what we had before, when we had the closed primary, was you had to outright the right in a Republican district, you had to go to the right extremely far to get your nomination, your party. Same on the left. You had to out-left the left person in the Democrat seat where you know you're going to get a Democrat. So what we had in Sacramento was extreme right, extreme left, and the people are somewhere in the middle. So the open primary means you can be taken out by your own party, which is, I think, in my case in 2012, I ran as against another Republican, which I think is healthy. It makes the top two, so the top two vote-getters, so the people actually get a choice. And I prefer that. And at Sacramento, you have now more moderate Democrats that represent the districts that are moderate. And so we pick up some of those Democrat votes on our conservative ideas occasionally. But we need more conservative Democrats. We need more Republicans elected to move our policies forward.
All right, that's tactics and strategy there. Let's talk about ideas, though. Outside the legislature, Republicans are down to about 25% of California's registered voters. Oddly enough, at the very time that Time magazine in its cover story points out that Democrats are at a low ebb in elective office nationally. How do you work, though, within California to convince people that the GOP has something for them, particularly in legislative seats?
Well, I've been doing that quite a bit myself. I've had over 85 legislators to my district talking about the things that are concerned to my business and to my district. And likewise, I've been visiting their districts and building that relationship. So when it comes time to talk about the policies, you know, we do a lot more politics than we do policies, unfortunately. And that's really what we need to talk about, policy and how we can move California in a direction where it's a place where people want to come and actually start a business. I mean, we have a lot of startup businesses because of you know, our technology sector of our state. But a lot of the existing businesses are here, ag and manufacturing, are struggling in California, and that's due to the fact that the policies that have been put forward. So to grow the Republican Party, I think our message needs to be one that, have a large tent, allow some different ideas to come into our party, for one, and then the other thing is to tell our story. I don't think we do a very good job at telling our story, and that's something I'm going to be focused on, is telling, the story of my business. And I want the same things every Californian wants. I want to be able to send my kids to a good school. I want a safe neighborhood, and I want them to be able to live the California dream just as my grandfather did when he came here and got his homestead in Siskiyou County. He said that California is the greatest place to do business, and I love California, and so do I. I think we've just kind of drifted away from our ability to be able to live that dream as folks that are conservative. So I'm going to be working very hard to grow the party, grow the base, and bring more people to our side of the aisle so that we can actually get some of that policy done.
Brian Daly is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the assembly member for California's 1st District, which is Shasta County, Siskiyou County, and the whole northeastern corner of the state. And he is now the minority leader as well, so he's the top Republican in the California Assembly as of September 16th. You can join the conversation with us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here is Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Assembly Minority Leader Daly.
Good morning, Assemblyman. I'm wondering, with the fact that L.A. Basin and the San Francisco Bay Area have the vast majority of the population in the state, how can the North State ever have any great effect on what goes on throughout the state?
Yeah, particularly when you have people in L.A. who mispronounce it as Siskiyou County sometimes.
Well, that's obviously one of the things that has been talked about and debated a lot in mainly the North State. We've had the State of Jefferson movement. We've had folks who wanted to secede out, and that's been going on for the last at least 20 years since I've been in local politics here in Lassen County. Quite frankly, Assemblymember Gallagher and myself actually put together a bill that said we're actually working on an idea that we had, that we make California like the nation, like the federal government is, where we have our senators. We have 11 senators from L.A. area, and we wanted to break up the Senate, leave the Assembly in the same way that it is done by population, which is the same thing we have at the federal level, where we have the House of Representatives is done by population. But every state has two senators, so we looked at the opportunity to maybe break up California in regions of five regions or eight regions and having five senators. So we still have 40 senators, but we have regions, and that would then balance out the region part of the state. So that's something that we looked at. We actually put together a map and did it. We dropped a piece of legislation, so it's in the 2-year process right now.
Will it work, though? I mean, given the previous Supreme Court decisions about how state legislatures have to be apportioned by population.
Well, there was even one of the Supreme Court justices that commented about that, doing it the way that we were talking about. And so at the end of the day, I think what needs to happen is it'll have to go to the ballot, and it'd have to be well-funded to tell the story. And because even San Francisco, the Inland Empire, would gain members of the Senate, so it would be more of the most of California, except for L.A. and San Diego, would actually benefit. So we would have to make sure that we got the votes out in those areas to accomplish that. And then I think it would balance it out. So you can get whatever you want out of the Assembly, but when it gets to the Senate, it has to meet the test of the regions. And so I think that would be positive for California, just as we do at the federal level.
Within the Assembly itself, Chad Mays, your ousted predecessor, did talk about wanting to show Republicans as the proposition party, not just the opposition party. I mean, what are some things you can do to convey that in the next session of the legislature?
I've been doing that since I got to Sacramento, and I think it's just the way we speak. So I'm going to give you an example of something that will ring to the ears of the people in my district. So a big part of my district is forestry. We need to do forestry in the And we haven't. We since the spotted owl came, and we've shut down our forest. And so the word, if I say the word logging, most people would think of cutting old growth timber, mainly probably redwoods, but they think of it as killing old, big trees. So when I go to Sacramento, I talk about we still need to do forestry because we've suppressed fire for the last 80 years, and our forest is overgrown, and we have these catastrophic wildfires. So I say maybe we should do some carbon sequestration in our forest. And, you know, we could, so because everybody, the buzz right now is talking about the environment and, you know, global warming. And but a forest that burns up and is dead emits carbon, more carbon than if you took every, I mean, the Rim Fire emitted more carbon than you took every vehicle out of the state of California for a complete year. But we need to go in and thin that forest out, and we need to open it up. We need to let those trees be able to sustain fire, which it did naturally before we came and manipulated it. So I say that, and I say a growing tree sequesters carbon. You know, a forest that's burned up emits carbon, but here's how we can do it. We go in and mechanically thin it. Now, I don't say logging, and because their mindset is that logging means cutting down the forest and killing big trees, but we need to go in and thin that forest out. So I've ran so after I've told that story, I've been able to run legislation after having members up here and talking about it that has allowed us to be able to go in with some exemptions and thin the forest. So those are the types of things that I want to talk about. Look, at the end of the day, it's the media and the Democrat Party has owned the ability to be able to communicate. We need to do a different model of communication, and that's number one for me, is be able to communicate in a way that people hear us.
Just a few seconds left, Brian Daly. Just a glance at the comments on your Facebook page reminds me that you only have to be a politician to get people angry. Do you think it'll get many times multiplied as a minority leader?
Oh, yeah. You know, I got plenty of enemies out there, but, you know, as I say, you know, it's a lot different than when you're in the ring fighting the bull versus when you're in the stands slinging the bull. So I'm in the ring. I'm doing the best I can. I want the same things everybody else want. I want to be able to pass my land on to my children, and if they so choose to farm, just like my father did and my grandfather did, that's my goal. I hear from my neighbors. They're struggling, and I'm trying to do everything I can to make California a better place to do business and raise a family. That's my goal. And I'll take the criticism all day long because I'm in there doing it, and I just hope people will come alongside me and help me, because that's really my goal, is to make California a better place. And this is a job I don't have to have. I'm a successful business owner, but I choose to do it because I'm not going to step back and look my daughter, Rosalind, in the eye and tell her I didn't do anything when she doesn't have the opportunity to farm.
All right, Brian Daly, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck as minority leader.
Thank you so much.